evil, not out of conviction, but out of being a cheat a couple years ago. And then I found out last night, I was reading my Bible, and it says that watching television apparently is a sin. Did you know that? Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Moses and Elijah. And as he was coming back down the mountain, he said to his followers, "Listen, tell the vision to no man." Okay, we're going to talk about how different seasons for different times. Okay, different seasons for different times. And then I have the coolest 20-second video at the end. So hang in for the end. We're going to see the coolest video ever. It's like 10 seconds. Okay? Now, for example, when you go to a football game or watch a football game on TV, and the black and gold Steelers come out, it's time to boo. So everybody, really loud. Boo! Louder! Come on. Boo! Okay. Then when the green jerseys come out with eagles on the wings, as loud as you can. Woo!
There's a lot of boos.
Kids watch too much television. Just kidding. The new guy's over there, like, "Mommy, he's scary." All right. Now, in gardening, there are seasons too. Like, my friend Richard, I said, "You either mowed your lawn, went to the shore, or were working in the garden." He says, "I was working in the garden and making a fence." So, Richard, what did you guys just finish doing in gardening? They planted, okay? So there's a time to plant. And then later, I don't know how, I'm not a good gardener. What is it, 3 days later you get a tomato? I don't know. A couple weeks later, what do you do? What do you do in like a couple months or weeks or whatever it is? Pick vegetables, yes, okay? So in your life, think about the different times. Sometimes it's a time to be sad or cry. Anybody here will be honest. No one will make fun of you. Can you tell me something that makes you cry? I'll go out first. Every time I watch Les Misérables, it makes me cry. It's like a movie or TV show or yes, something that makes you cry. What? Okay. Yeah. And why is it? Okay. Someone dies. Okay, yeah. And did you have something that makes you cry? I think you raised your hand. You did? Yeah. How about something that makes you laugh? What's something that makes you, okay, yes. A joke makes you laugh. Especially if you tell a joke, try to make it funny. Yes. When somebody tickles you, that's a good one. Yeah. Who here is ticklish? Everybody? Yeah, I think everybody is. Okay. So, different times for different things. Sometimes it's okay to be angry. Can anybody tell me, when is it okay to be angry, really mad about something? Yes. What was that? When someone's being mean to you, yes, that's normal. Be angry and say, "Knock it off! Quit being mean." Yes, Lexi. Oh, excellent. Ouch. If you have to eat vegetables and mommy says you have to. Yeah. Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, one more, and then we're going to show our video. Where's his parents? Cut him off from cable. Alright, one more. Oh. Okay. Okay. And the point is, so the point I'm making is that it's sometimes it's the time to be sad, and that's okay. And sometimes it's a time to cheer, and sometimes it's time to die, and sometimes it's time to be born. Okay. Now let's end in our cool video. Probably a lot of you have already seen this, but for our Bethlehem historians, I was hoping Brian or Dave Jacoby would be here, but they're not here because they know everything there is to know about Bethlehem. Who knows when Martin Tower was built? Somebody out there must know. 1972. So this is a building almost 50 years old. And did you hear about it? Yeah, probably a lot of you have seen it. But this is an example of it was time to destroy the Martin Tower, the tallest building in the Lehigh Valley. So if you haven't seen it, it's a small one, ready? It's really quick. I know everybody's probably seen it like 50 times. Here we go. Are you with? You win? Here we go. Okay, here we go. Watch this.
All I can hear is you can see on the bottom.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's cool. That happened this morning. Isn't that cool? Yeah. I was going to go. I set my alarm at, and then I pushed snooze and said, forget it. I'll watch it. Yeah, it's like crazy. Strategically placed explosives. They know exactly where to put it. Yeah. All right, let's pray. And remember, sometimes it's time to laugh, sometimes it's time to cry, sometimes it's time to cheer, sometimes it's time to not cheer. Let's pray. Thank you for all the wonderful variety in life. And in Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen. So all the kids this morning are going to go outside. So everybody's going outside today with Paula. And there's going to be outside play and outside prayer and outside God sightings and all kinds of fun things today. All ages. Wiggles, elementary age kids. Excellent. And so this morning we're going to start with our arts team video by Brittany.
Time to take your last breath. Time to close your eyes. Time to say your final goodbyes. Time to go to bed. Time to slow down. Time to laugh and cry over too many stories to count. Time to appreciate all you have and those you hold dear. Time for doctor's visits. Time for fear. Time for wrinkles on your skin and arthritis in your bones. Time for card games and visits from your grandkids at home. Time to cherish those you love. Time to bid farewell to old friends. Time to meet your first grandkid and visits on the weekends. Time to see your children married. Time to go on vacations. Time to take time for yourself. Maybe travel the nation. Time to retire. Time to watch your children come into their own. Time to relearn who you are when your kids are no longer at home. Time to look over the empty nest you now inhabit. Time to watch your child drive away as they're off like a rabbit. Time for school dances, time for proms, time for wondering where all the time has gone, time for parent-teacher conferences, time to take kids to soccer and ballet, time to find out what true love really is in a single moment of a single day, time to have your own kids, time to live, laugh, and love, time to get married to your beloved. Time to learn everything about one another. Time to go on dates and meet their mother. Time to meet the love of your life. Time to start growing and time to take flight. Time to heal. and time to get better. Time to know that this is a storm you can weather. Time to put in the hard work. Time to see a shrink. Time to wonder why you think all these things that you think. Time to wonder if everything about you is wrong. And time to question if you are worthy and if your life is worth even a song. Time to have your heart broken. Time to get in a fight. Time to wonder if the one you are with is right. Time to get that diploma and make your parents proud. Time to buckle down, study hard, use the smarts with which you were endowed. Time to party and stay out late. Time to live for the moment and question fate. Time to fall in love. Time to make new friends. Time to live like the world will never end. Time to go off to college and attempt and fail. To understand the meaning of life and climb the social scale. Time to start a new chapter, walk the stage in your cap and gown. Time to study and try your hardest, because you don't want to let anyone down. Time to quit your first job because you hate it so much. Time to get your first job so you can just earn a buck. Time for your parents to ground you for all eternity. Time to stay out late with your friends. It's time to party. Time for A's and F's and everything in between. Time for after-school activities and homework stuffed in backpacks like sardines. Time for cliques and teasing and learning the value of a true friend. Time for pimpled faces, cracking voices, and teasing that never seems to end. Time for growing and changing. Time for learning to share. Time for colors and counting and learning the Lord's Prayer. Time to make friends and play in the sun. Time for your first day of school and finding out that homework's not all that fun. Time to discover the world. Time to run, jump, and fall. Time to say your first words while your parents ooh and awe. Time to learn what it means to feel safe and secure when your parents bring you home to a place they've procured. Time to be held to the warmth of your mother's breast. Time to open your eyes. Time to take your first breath.
This morning we are continuing our message series called Backwards. It's based on the book Living Life Backwards by David Gibson. And the series is a study on the book of Ecclesiastes to help us free us from the fear and anxiety of death so that we can prioritize what's most valuable to us in life and to discover gratitude for the gift of today. So today we're going to start with the passage from Ecclesiastes. You can guess the passage already in the third chapter. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sew. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So with our children's chat and our arts team video, all of these times and all of these seasons, they come and go. And there is a time for every matter under heaven. This gives a rhythm and seasons to our days, and this morning I would like to focus a little more in what it means to be in a time for mourning and a time for dancing, a time for grief and a time for hope. So every person has a story of grief and hope. And this morning, I'd like to kind of open this up into a safe conversation so that no matter where you are in your journey, you might be struggling with grief, you might be moving through a time of grief into a time of hope, but wherever you are in your journey, I hope that you feel that this is a safe place to share. I'm going to invite a conversation with us this morning. I'm also very mindful of the time, so I'm going to kind of speed up and get us right into the conversation with this morning. But I do want to say that if you want to pass the clipboards around now, if there is a thought or a question that you might feel uncomfortable to share, or you're not very, I know this is going to sound weird, but if I were sitting in the congregation and I had something to share, I might not raise my hands, but I might feel safe to write it down on a piece of paper, because that's just how my brain works. So if you want to pass the clipboards that are in your aisle, sign in, take a golden sheet of paper. If there's something that you would like to contribute, you can write it down now as you're listening to the message and put it in the offering baskets later. I also want to recognize that grief is complex. It is very complex. And so I thought I would share from a personal story this morning. This is a photo of my friend Michelle, and this was taken 8 years ago, 2011, when I assisted Mark and her husband at the time, Mark and Michelle, in renewing their vows and their commitment to their family with their daughter, Lauren. When I lost Michelle, I'm still grieving her loss in many, many ways. She was a very special person. She was Jim Schmoopy, any Seinfeld fans out there. She was light and love in the world to me every day, and it still breaks my heart in many ways. And then I'm also sort of relieved in some ways, because she had fought a difficult battle with cancer. Grief is complex. It is complex, and there are still some things that I reflect on my relationship with her, and there are some regrets that I have, and yet at the same time, I have hope. I have hope that I can carry her humor and her spirit of love and her incredible humor and wit. And I know you all carry these stories as well, and these stories are complex. And people who have had incredible impacts on your lives, people that you've loved, people that you've lost, and ways that you continue through your grief journeys, and ways that you're moved to hope. So this morning, I'd like to just take a minute and just honor that in this space and in this room. Take a moment, and I'm grateful to God for all of you in this community and for your courage to love boldly and to honor all the people who've helped to have a positive impact in your lives this morning. In our silence, God, we honor all of these lives, and we ask that you are with us this day as we talk about the seasons of our lives. Amen. So this morning, I want to recognize that we all move through grief and hope. We all have our personal stories. And we also have community grief to talk about, and I'd like to move into what that kind of grief is and what it looks like as a community, because I have found that not only do we often have times grieving personally, but that in communities we often ignore grief collectively. So let me give you an example. So in many faith communities, when a pastor leaves, it's almost like, okay, the pastor's gone, we're going to wait and have the new pastor come in. And there's a grieving that happens within the community, and we often don't talk about it. And so I'm going to encourage us to have some open and honest conversations this morning about Sue leaving our community and doing a new thing and some of the change that happens with this grieving process. Now, why am I bringing this up this morning? Part of it is knowing that there are seasons in our lives. And
so grateful for Sue. I'm lucky and I'm very blessed. As much as I grieve her loss in this community, I'm still very lucky that I get to see her often. But it didn't hit me until Easter morning. And I shared this story with our vision team. Easter morning, all of a sudden, someone came up to me and said, "Sue's not here." And I said, "Oh, she's not here." And they said, "I thought she was going to be here today." And when I shared that story, someone else said the same thing. He said, "You know, I turned to my partner and I said, 'Sue's not here. She's really not here today.'" And I think for many, many people, it hit us that we're in a transition. And there have been a lot of questions, too, about, well, who's the new person who's going to come? Are we looking for a new person? Where are we? And so I thought it would be great to talk about grief and hope, and also recognize that all of us are in different places. And grief is complicated, and different people can be feeling different things, and that's okay, too. So one of the models that I've been reading up on models of grief and how to move through grief, and I found one that I found was particularly helpful. It's a book written by Bonnie Bates, who is the new UCC conference minister in the Penn Northeast, and she's written a little book called Navigating the Rivers of Grief. And she doesn't talk about grief in stages or steps, but she talks about navigating grief as jumping in a river and finding your way in the flow. And I thought this would be a helpful image for us this morning to have some conversation. Because I do believe that God is with us as we navigate the river of grief. And I do believe that it's important for us to be able to talk to one another. Because this is the other thing about grief. I don't know if this happens to you, but this happens to me. That if I don't talk about it or process it, that sometimes it comes out sideways. So I might be upset about one thing, and then I'm snapping over here at another thing. So it can happen. So I appreciate when I can have open and honest conversations, because then I can process the emotions that I'm genuinely feeling, and I'm not kind of spilling out or projecting or doing a transference or putting my feelings on someone else who doesn't deserve them. So the first stage of entering the river of grief is just entering the river and moving out of denial. And I think we're there as a community. I think we've kind of embraced this, but I'm curious to know, and I'm wondering how you're feeling. What are the fears, or what is the grief that you are experiencing at this time? Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Dave.
For me, Sue, in great wisdom, kind of planted the seed along the way, which was brilliant. Instead of like, "Hey guys, next month, I'm saying goodbye." And so for me, I have to say, unless I'm cold-hearted, I really haven't had grief, because I was expecting it along the way for a couple years. But she would often say, "I'm not going to be here forever," and blah, blah, blah. So I thought that was brilliant to kind of bring the community along instead of doing it like in your face. I quit.
Absolutely. She was brilliant about that. Yeah. Sandy? That's all right. Kathy's getting her step in. Or 10,000.
So I'm kind of with Dave. I miss Sue. The advantage that I have is that Sue lives like 2 miles from my house, so I guess I could stop by if I wanted to. But I also think she did a really good job of preparing us, and that can kind of help us, you know, learn how to prepare our families. On a side note, and this is not in the context of the community, but as we were talking before, I'm always thinking about our adolescents, and I was thinking about Ian, and I think if he were here today to talk about grief, he would talk about the loss of all the men in his life. He lost my dad 6 years ago when he was 11. He doesn't really see his grandfather in Florida. My sister-in-law divorced for the third time, and he loved his German uncle, and there's no relationship there anymore because my former brother-in-law, you know, says that he'll do things, but it doesn't. You know, so if you know kids in your life, in your neighborhood, you have nephews or grandchildren, and they're experiencing divorce, or a lot of kids are in broken relationships or in separate houses, they're going through processes of grief that they don't even know what that is. Like, if they haven't actually lost someone physically, I see it every day at school. You know, and if you can try to just enter their lives and become a mentor or a friend, they really need that, because the counselors at school don't have enough time. You just don't have, there's not enough time for to meet all the needs of the kids at school. So I think overall, my impression of the communities that we're doing okay, I do wonder if we have, I mean, I just wonder, have we had people who have decided to leave this community because of that? Because I know in other situations, you know, being in other churches, when a pastor leaves, some people will just decide to, you know, leave the ship and go to another ship. So
that's one of the fears that I've heard, that people are wondering, you know, are people going to leave us? Because that's like an added layer of grief, you know, if we experience that kind of loss.
But the blessing is that we had two that helped us overcome. Mm-hmm. So even though she has left, and she has opened that door to, not as well, she opened that door to let us know that she was going. You were there to help us through transition, and you're still here with us.
Yeah, you can't get rid of me that easy. But at the same time, like, that was one of the things that, you know, I've actually told a number of, like, sort of, they call them, like, judicatory, like, conference ministers, like, ministers who care for ministers. I've told them and shared that process, and I really thought it's brilliant and very, very helpful for a community to do that. And they're like, oh, because usually we're very good about pastoral boundaries, and that those kinds of transitions can be complicated. But I said, you know, emotionally, I think it's worked very well for us. I think it takes a lot on our part to have really good boundaries as pastors, but I do. So here's where it gets complex, though. So the second step of navigating grief is understanding the complexities of grief. So while at this, on one level, like, we've been set up for consistency and sort of this steady flow and transition, on another level, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but if you're a widower, or if you know someone who is a widower where their spouse has died and then they remarry, so I'm like your remarried spouse in a way, what happens is grief can get confused sometimes, where people might want to protect me or not stick what they're really feeling because they don't want to hurt me. Like, they, like, if you've ever known a widower who's remarried, like, a family won't talk about the previous spouse because they're afraid to hurt the new spouse's feelings, or it's kind of like a dance around them. Like, it's complicated, right? So I also want it to feel safe, that if you're angry or if you're upset, or because I'm not Sue. Right? And I also recognize that Sue is the founding pastor. So that can get complicated. So navigating all these feelings, I think, is really important. And to be open and honest about that. Betsy. We're good. Oh, Kathy's running.
Okay. Another piece of recognizing mourning and loss is loss. And all change, even good change, even having a new baby, is a loss of what was before. And so I think we need to open our hearts to just keep that in the back of your mind. Somebody might have a great new job, but they're leaving people that they've been with for a long time. Or maybe they have to family has to move. Oh, you're going to get a great new house, but you're leaving the old neighborhood. So I think we need to open our minds up to this, because probably everybody in this room right now has something that they're dealing with in this way, and has having the same emotions and process.
Yes. And there's tension, right? There's tension in loss. There's tension with grief and the hope that you're... And I think the beauty of God and all of God's amazing creative brilliance is that we do move through that tension. But I do think it's also okay to sit and hold that tension and honor the complexity of those feelings. So thank you for that, Betsy. Rich?
At least for me,
I don't see this as grief because, to me, grief comes from injustice and suffering. This is sort of like it went exactly the way she wanted it. She let us go and we walked by ourselves. And it's sort of like when my dad died and Tony's mom just died Friday, and he was talking about that those last moments, they're at peace. And I think you look back and it's more grace and glory that moves you, not grief. And that's what Sue did here, mm-hmm. You know, grace and glory.
Yeah, she left us hope. Yeah.
Another part of this is you and Sue, another thing that was masterful. It's not a one or two person show. I've never been in a community where there's so much of a use of the gifts of the community. So it also wasn't like the rug being pulled out from under. It's like, well, you know, it's a very participatory gift use community, you know.
Absolutely. And so as I was preparing the message for today, you know, thinking about like the third and fourth steps of navigating through grief is recognizing the depths of grief and then recognizing that you'll find your way through to the other side. And I began to think of exactly that, and I began to reflect on all of the amazing people that have been a part of the barn through the years, who've come and who've gone and who've really blessed this community. Renee, you look like you want to say something. Oh, Kathy's coming with the mic. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
I remember somebody used the analogy of my mom. My mom passed away. I grieved as she was passing. I felt like I honored my mom and my dad. And one of the things that I think the barn did really well here was honor Sue. And there is, so there's goodness, and I think there's healing in just the way that we honor her as she left. And I think that helps us work through and resolve.
Absolutely. And I think all of that goes back to legacy. Like in community, every person in this community is a gift. And every person leaves a mark in relationship with everyone else. And each one of you is an amazing gift to this community. And you're leaving a legacy behind of light, of love, of hope. Others? Bart?
So, a bit differently, I did feel grief when Sue left. And the reason I did is because we hadn't been here that long. And after sitting for a couple of years, finally found a church that made us feel like we were part and welcome without any question. But I will say the grief turned to hope because I would have at one point in time considered myself a done. And so being welcomed here and fostering my love of religion and spirituality has allowed me to see hope that Sue will bring that to other people. And for that, I personally will feel forever grateful because I know there are people out there that are just as hungry for that as I was, and she's going to be able to give that to somebody.
So I want to be mindful of the time this morning. I know we're already over time. So what I would like to just say as a final word, and I had a very quick video of Nadia Boltzweber talking about how God gives us hope and thinking about, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. You know, so love, faith, and hope help us to move through all of these different seasons in our lives. And also, I think having a backward perspective also helps to give us hope. So going back to Brittany's video and the beauty of it, it reminds me of Sue's courage to just love and nurture this community. She's left a legacy here, and I'm so grateful to God for that legacy. And I'm sure that all of you may be working through grief, or you might be in a different place of grief and hope. So just want to offer resources as well. If you need a small group, if you need a mentor, if you need a spiritual guide or companion, there are also community resources if you would reach out to me if you need assistance or help walking through grief. We are here for you. And just to remember that in all things, no matter where you are on your journey, to that reminder that love wins and God is with you. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Bow our heads. Heavenly Mother, sometimes it's hard, really hard, as we go through the seasons of change, to live a backwards life. It's challenging to remain grounded and grateful in the moment, especially in tough moments that have been delivered to us. It's hard to find joy in difficult situations, and we have to remember that much of what we have now is vanity. It's that puff of smoke that vanishes, that disappears. Help us, God. Instill us with the wisdom to live a backwards life, to live a life rooted in gratitude and joy, to live a life where we can give freely, and to live a life where we can openly forgive and be forgiven. As we reflect on our week, help us to think about the ways we live and celebrate you. And now, please give us some time to be with us and as we share our own concerns with you, either openly or in our own private thoughts. Be with us, God, as we go out into the world again. Instill in us the wisdom and courage to live a backwards life as we go through the seasons of change. Give us the strength to serve others and provide us with the capacity to love. Amen.
So I'm going to invite you to pass the clipboards one last time. If you haven't passed the clipboards through your row, if you have want to take a minute to think about if you have a question, a wonderment, or a reflection to offer, to share with the gathering this morning. All week I've been reflecting on and offering up to God this idea that it takes great courage to love deeply. Because when we love deeply, we can feel that loss.